Probably nobody else ever thinks like me, but I was eating chicken soup just this week, and it was actually really good. Well, it wasn't, no. Anyways, that's just a little tip. Turn your Bibles over with me to Galatians. I've had something in my heart, just it's the way I've sort of lived my life, and it's probably because the way I was raised, and I see a lot of godly principles in around life, and I wanted to come here, and I wanted to talk about this because I'm around hockey a lot, and I'm around sports, and I'm around people working, and I'm around poor people, rich people. Our whole and society today is lives in a sort of a little make-believe world, and it's to do with fair play. And I'm not talking about fair play like in a wrong way, because everybody in life, God, it doesn't matter if you fall down 10 times, God wants to help pick you up. So this is nothing to do with God not wanting to help people, because God loves people. And it doesn't matter where we're at, God wants to take us where we're at and bring us farther. But in life, the Bible says here, just read with me and we'll just go through this, some scripture. And it bothers me because I think in life we need to set our children up. As a mom and a dad, in our children, when I used to go to school, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. When I used to go to school and I did something wrong at school, I would usually get a spanking at school. Now, I don't think that they need to spank your kids at school. It's none of my business what they do. I'm not the people making the rules. But then when I would come home, I never had my dad say and phone the school and say, "My Johnny, if you touch him again, you know, we're going to come and we're going to sue you." Because my Johnny would never do that. Now, my dad would say, "Get in the bedroom." Not only would I get it at school, but my dad would give it to me at home. Why would he do that? And today I see this. Everybody says, "My Johnny wouldn't do that." And what they're doing, they're not really helping their children, because their kids think there's no consequences in life. And the truth is, life don't work like that. Real life does not work like that. So let me read this. And I see people in the church like this, like in the Christian world, they don't want to do what somebody else does to get where they need to go, but they want to have what the other person has, but they don't want to do the work to do it, to get there. And the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and I love this because I was reading this morning, and I was reading actually a lot of the Bible, because God put this in my heart to talk about this one thing. And the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So what's the first thing he says in the Bible here? Is when somebody makes a mistake, what are we supposed to do? I just read it. What are we supposed to do? Go and restore that person. So one thing we're supposed to do is not, my job is not to go around and judge people and knock people and push people down farther. My job as a Christian, the Bible says, is to tell people and lift them back up. So that's why we don't want to talk about people. We don't want to put people down. It's not my job to tell somebody that they need to lose weight or they need to do this or need to do that or need to do something else. Because I need to look at myself. But if I see an area where somebody's hurting, I need to help them, right? No, I'm being honest. Because that's where the Bible says here, first thing, dealing with you and somebody else, we're there to help them. We're supposed to help people. But then he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law? The law of Christ. So we're to help one another, what the Bible says here. Bear one another's burdens. So instead of always knocking other people, and I don't do that, okay? I really purpose not to knock somebody else. I've always purposed from the Bible, not from my nature, because my nature when I was young wasn't like that. Was it, Pearl? No, it wasn't. I've done this because of the Bible. So I've always purposed to see the person that other people don't like, or the person that was picked on, because I was picked on as a young boy. I've seen the people that aren't cool, and I've always purposed to be their friend, and that's who my friends were mostly growing up in life, is because I never liked to see people picked on, and I don't to this day. I never liked that. But I got that from the Word of God, where the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The Bible says, and he said, the Ten Commandments, he says, I'm not putting away the old ones, but the two new ones are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, love thy soul as mine, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And if we treated others the way we treated ourselves, we'd do well. But then he gets into this, and I want to say this, for if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if you think you're better than somebody else just because you think you're better, you're deceiving yourself, because we're all human. And then he says this, but every man prove his own work. So now he's talking about me. So every one of us need to think of me, myself. He's not talking about somebody else, because he says, when you see somebody fall, the first thing he said here in verse 1, when you see somebody overtaken in a fall, you which are strong, do what? Restore them. And then he says you need to bear your neighbor's burden or somebody else's burden. And you need to help. And then number 3, he says, for if a man think of himself something, or you think you're better than somebody else because you never did what he did, you're living in a fake world. And then the third verse is what I want to really talk about is this. In verse 4. But let every man examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So what I want to talk about today is this. What are we doing with our own life? Because he goes on to say this. A lot of people, if you don't like where you are today, And I'm not just saying this, because I don't like certain things about myself today. But if I don't like something about myself today, I need to do something different so I have different results tomorrow. Amen. If I don't like in every area of my life. So the Bible says here, Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now this is a law of sowing and reaping. And this is a law that is whether people like it or they don't like it. It's a law of life. The Bible says, while the earth remains, you're going to have day and you're going to have night. Right? You're going to have summer and now we got winter. Right? And he says you're going to have fall and you're going to have spring. And then you're going to have sowing and you're going to have reaping. And what you sow in your life, you will reap in your life. And where we are all at today is a result of what we've done in the past, of what we've sown in our life. And it's just a law. And I can tell you this, that I see so many people, and and I'm not knocking the government, the Bible says that we need to pray for the government. But in society today, I'm telling you, they want everybody to be equal. And life is not equal. So, and what I'm saying like this is this, and this comes from the Bible. It doesn't come from outside the Bible. Everybody, you go to work and you work hard, and somebody else that's not sick doesn't go to work. They want him to make the same money as you. And that's not right. That's not normal. The Bible says here, "For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh will he reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life and life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing." Because see, this is the thing. If you need to keep doing the right thing day in and day out, and I'm telling you something, you will end up winning in your life. Because I'm about winning. And I'm not being smart. Ask my wife. It doesn't matter what we're doing. That's why my wife and I don't play sports together. Because I don't let her win. If I can help it. Like, just because she's my wife and we're going to play soccer? Right? The last time we played soccer, she wanted to kill me. It was down in Jack's Lake at our house down there. And we were having a fun game of soccer until I wouldn't let her win. And then I would tease her and say, "I thought you're from Europe. Europeans are supposed to be good soccer players." Anyways, and so it didn't matter. Whatever we do, I want to win in life. I don't want to waste my time. I'm not lying when I say that. Like, I hate losing. I am a loser sometimes. And as long as I've done the best I can, I'll just figure out how I can do it differently. Because I've lost in business, I've lost in lots of different areas, but I don't want to lose again this next time. I don't like losing. And the Bible says here, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season if we shall reap if we what?" So don't stop doing the right thing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop sowing and being good to people. Don't stop working hard, even if you don't see things happening right away. Because the Bible says, "We will reap if we faint not." And it says here, "And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." So we're to be good to one another. Now turn over with me here. And I want to read this. I forgot I have a phone. My wife bought me a new phone and it actually rings. I turn my normal phone off and my watch rings now. Sorry. We got to turn over to Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 15, or 25. And I want to go through this because what is going to cause you and I to win in life? There's one thing. It's God. And doing it God's way. There's one thing. Because I want to tell you something. Your marriage, see, the Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand. So if you can cause division, what did he say? What do you think he said there in the very last, "especially to the household of faith"? How does he destroy a church? Causing division. That's why I tell you, I'm not right at everything. Like, I think I'm right at everything. Like, and what I mean by that is, what I'm preaching to you, I don't preach just because I'm trying to make a nice message up to you. I'm preaching out of conviction what I actually believe. It doesn't mean I'm right on everything. It's just the way I believe it. So don't get mad at me and cause division because of something I say, because I know I'm not right on everything. And that's why we need to stay together. Do you know what I mean? And stay connected and be there for one another and encourage one another. But know this, that we have to, every one of us have to know that what we sow, we're going to reap. Now let's read this. I love this here. It says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter if that's okay with you, because it all leads into one, into another, into another, into another. And it says here, "Then shall all the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took their oil in their vessels and in their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now, I know that this is talking about a lot of different things here. It's talking about Jesus coming and being ready. Why did, and I'll read some more. "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, and they went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Is this fair? Why would only half of them get to come in? Because they were ready. Life is not fair, people. It's not fair. Those that do it are the ones that are going to reap it. Those that sow it are the ones that are going to reap it. Those that do what the Bible says, James says, not just the hearers, but the doers. And see, we've got to do the Bible. And this isn't that God loves you. See, because God set this world up, and he says there's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know if there's people that are in business? Just normal business. And they steal from people. And they're not good stewards of what other people have. Do you think they're going to keep getting more business and more business and more business when they take from somebody, they overcharge people, they don't give people what they say they're going to give? Do you think they're going to? No. But people that do the right thing, they grow. People that sow, I'm telling you, when you sow love, you reap love. The Bible says if you want friends, you need to be what? Friendly. See, we have a lot to do with the way we end up in life. Every one of us. See, and the Bible says this, and I want you to know this, because I know that we're in right now where the Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. And I want you to see this, because we're in this world, but we're from a different kingdom. So our rules live from the kingdom of heaven, which never change, which are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's why I don't, like, if there's a recession come, I don't change what I believe, because the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll look after his people. And I'm telling you, when recession came in the old Bible, in the Old Testament, not the old Bible, in the Old Testament, when recession came, God's people always were looked after. Always. So he's the same today as then. But you've got to do today the same as they did then. What do you think if Joseph, when God said to Joseph, I want you to store so many barns up because there's going to be a time of famine coming. And Joseph says, we don't need to do that. Look at the how we have so much food. There's so much plenty. There's so much of everything. Why would we need that? But he listened. Because there's a time of famine coming. So when the time of famine came, what happened? He lived in a different kingdom, their little kingdom there, just like they did in the time of plenty. When there was time of nothing out around, they were in a time of plenty. Why? Because he listened to what God said, and he did it. And it helped him. And I want to tell you something. Life always is not fair. It's not fair. I wondered always about certain things. As a boy, because I know God loves you and me the same as everybody else. But I know people that don't have really great marriages. And what I mean by great marriages, that they don't have what my wife and I have. And I'm telling you this, the Bible says that you as a husband are to treat your wife like Christ treated the church. What did he do for the church? I'm just asking you. He gave his life. He laid his life down for you and me. So now, does the Bible say if your wife deserves it, lay your life down? No, I'm just asking you. I'm trying to make a point. No, it doesn't. So why do Julie and I love one another? Because Julia started to do what the Bible says, not me. Because it took me longer. Because I had pride. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't want to say I was sorry when I didn't do anything wrong. But Julia did the right thing. She would not fight with me anymore. She loved me, and she made me spaghetti every night. And I'm not going to tell you all the story, but I complained about her food nonstop because it was different than what I was grew up with. Her cakes were things like this, little flat pieces of dough with sugar on them. She says, you're making me a cake? And I said, what is that? That's not a cake. Like, it's not chocolate with icing. And she had prunes even on it. And I'm like, what is prunes? No. I'm being honest with you. And so I would say stuff mean to her. And then she would fight with me, and then we would fight. That's what we would do, fight. And then fight more. It all stopped when she wouldn't fight with me. She said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, John. I'll try to do what you want. And I want to ask you a question. Is that easy? Honestly, when you got a guy that's a jerk like I was, that's putting you down, there's very few preachers that are honest, right? Why do I talk like this? Because I know a lot of you guys are jerks too. But you won't admit it. And it would be very hard. I think it would be very hard for Julia when I'm putting not just her down, but her culture down. I'm being honest. For her to say, John, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want. And you know what? Today, because of what she sowed, I learned about 2 years later, it took me 2 years, to tell her I love her. To tell her I appreciate her. To not say, talk about the things that she did wrong. She doesn't even, today, I've never heard her in 10 years, and I'm being honest with you. In 10 years, I've never heard her say one thing about me throwing my socks and my clothes in a pile next to my bed. I said, why would I fold them up and put them away? I'm going to use them again in the morning. She used to tell me every day. She stopped. She doesn't even care. She just picks them up, folds them. And I'll say to her, where's my clothes? Put away. I'll tell you this. Duffy came and put a TV in my room, which was the most amazing thing because I could watch hockey at night and stuff and other stuff. Do you know my favorite thing? Do you know how a lot of guys are, or maybe you don't know, but forget about other guys. Do you know I come home at night and I get into bed and I'm watching TV or Cops or preaching or whatever we put on. And Julia comes in and she's reading a book beside me and I just snuggle right over to her and we lay there. And it's the most favorite thing that I love to do. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Like, I look forward to going to bed at night. Not to go to sleep, to be with my wife. And I just reach over and I slap her or poke her. And I say to her, you know how much I love you? And she laughed now. But I absolutely love my wife. I love her. She's my best friend. I enjoy her. And there was a time I didn't even like her. I never even wanted, after the first 3 years of our marriage, even though she was pretty, it didn't even matter she was pretty. I don't know what was wrong with me and wrong with her. She wanted to leave. She phoned her mom to come home, and her mom says, you married him? You got to work this out with him. It's true. And today, I work all day. And I love my kids. I love people. I love family. But today, we have something that most people don't have. I don't think we've fought in 10 years. I don't agree with her. She doesn't agree with me. But I still love to snuggle into her at night and tell her I love her. Why? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Now, when it comes to me talking about other people, I'm there if you fall down to pick you up. But when you want something in your life, if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me. You've got to do something different in your life to get different results. It's not up to me to tell you that you need to do something different. It's up to me to encourage you, but it's up to me to judge myself and to correct myself and to do something different in myself. So let's keep reading. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them up to his goods. And unto one of them," and I'm just saying this because when I read the Bible, it's not fair play. Life is not fair. Like, it drives me mad. Anyway, I won't even get into sports. Life's not fair. It says here, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability." So God did what? He gave each one of these people according to the ability or the gift they have. There's not one of us in here that has one gift less than another. Every one of us has gifts that God has given to us, but they're all different. And just because God calls one person to give millions of dollars to Africa doesn't mean that he's called you to do that. Everyone has different gifts, and everyone is just as valuable in the kingdom of God. And that's why we're a family or a body. A body is made up of hair, eyes, mouth. And the Bible also says the mouth can't say to the ears, "I don't need you because I'm not a mouth." The eyes can't say, "Well, I don't need hands. What good are hands?" The body works together as one unit. And so every one of us has gifts. So just because one gift is over here and it looks so great, it's no different in the kingdom of God than one that you don't even see. Like, I mean, I don't even see my Kylie ever at church. Where is she? Where's Kylie usually? No. But where is she? In the kids. Where's Stephanie? I don't see them. You see me. Here, everybody's watching me. Like, I mean, I'm the pastor. Their gifts are just as important. They're down in the basement. Dolores. Dolores, I see her sometimes. But she's with kids for 30 years. Helping them kids is just as important as what I'm doing. Amen. Amen. So we all got gifts. So this is what I want to get to this. So he said unto the five, he gave 5 talents to one, another 2, to another 1, to every man accordingly, severally as his ability. And straightway he took his journey. And he that received the 5 talents went, and they traded with the same. And he made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 more. But he that received 1, he went and digged in the earth, and his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants comes and he reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and he brought 5 more unto the talents. Behold, I have... I said that wrong. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which had received 1 talent came, and he said unto the Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thy design. And the Lord answered and said unto him, The wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sow not, and I gather and I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall it be taken away, even from that which he has. Now, I just wanted to ask you this. When I read that when I first got born again, I didn't think that God was very fair. I'm just being honest with you. Just like the story in the Bible where one guy worked 12 hours and he got $1. Well, then the next guy come in at the 11th hour and he got $1. And then the guy came in at 9 and he worked 9 hours and he got $1. And then one guy came in for the last hour and he got $1. And the guy that was there for 13 hours, he came to his master and said, This isn't fair. I worked for 13 hours and I get the same as the guy that worked for 1 hour. Well, let me ask you this. I'm just saying this. I've had people say to me, I've never smoked. I've never drank. I've been in church my whole life. Now, I don't understand their thinking. And they're good people. And what they don't realize is when you live for God and serve God, your life is going to be blessed. You should never be upset that this guy that's done everything wrong and on his deathbed has given his life to Jesus and he's going to end up in heaven too. Thank God, that's grace. But you know, see, what this guy that said this to me, I've had a couple people say this because they think they're better than them, other people. And they don't think this. Do you know when you live for God? Do you know that you can have the best life in the world? Like living for God isn't a punishment just to get to heaven. I mean, living for God is like having peace. How about peace? Living for God is like when I give. Do you know I don't give because I have to give? I give because God said to give. But I give because I want to give. And God's blessed my life. Do you know that I like my kids, I love my kids. Every one of them. Like, I love my kids. Serving God, do you know, I don't understand people that treat their kids bad. I don't understand, like, I can't even comprehend it. Because we would give our life for our kids. Serving God adds so much to your life that I don't understand people that don't serve God how they enjoy life. Because it's not just about one thing, it's about everything. Because God didn't take away. When I first got born again, or when I heard about Jesus, I thought I would have to give up my life and take up his cross and bear it like he did. That's what I thought. I thought I would have to live a terrible life. I'd be in Africa somewhere. I thought I would have to give all my money to the poor. I thought I didn't know that I could own a hockey team. I could still play hockey. That I could tell people, love people, work, be normal, have kids, have fun. I didn't know I could do all this. See, God, all He did was add to my life. He got me born again, and then He gave me peace. He gave me joy. It's nice for, I don't even understand people. Because the people that think like that, they think their life is a burden. They've had to go to church their whole life. They've never partied. They've never danced. They've never done this. They've never done any of that stuff. And why should this guy get to go to heaven and he lived terrible? Well, that's grace. That's grace. But you know what? When you serve God and you live for God, your life is like 100 times better. It's awesome. Like, life is awesome. Do you know that you can never get into a place where God will never help you out? Do you know that when you're a good steward of what God's given to you? Do you know that something that I never was? Do you know that God, what is He talking about here? What is He talking about? God's given you gifts. What are you going to do with them? God's given you the Word of God. What will you do with them? It sounds to me that God expects a return from your life. God expects you to sow, and He expects you to reap. He doesn't want you to get born again and not live for God. He wants you to serve God. Now I got way more. And it's 12 o'clock. Almost. Jesus said here in James, I want to read this because life isn't equal. It's not. And life in my life is not fair. I've seen a lot of things in life that aren't fair. Like, why should my... If it was based on your works, I'm telling you this. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but I'm not about to try to figure it out. Like, my dad was a wonderful man. And my mom was a wonderful lady. And if it was based on works, my brother wouldn't have died. Because my mom and dad lost an amazing boy. That was a good boy, that honored mom and dad, loved dad, worked with dad. Life always isn't easy. But the way you win is keep putting the Word first. We can't throw the towel in because our life doesn't seem to be going the way we think it should. We've got to be faithful day in and day out, and you will end up winning. I know that. I don't understand everything, but I know this, that life isn't fair. But I know that the Word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those that will put God first and serve God, they're going to reap a harvest on that. In whatever area they serve God at, they're going to reap a harvest in that. And not only they, but remember the Bible talked about this, and I want to say this, because you know the Bible says we're to be like strong, like a tree. that grows up, that other people, that birds can come and be in your branches. See, you're to become strong in God that you can make a difference in other people's lives. And see, most of us are so concerned about us that we are not fulfilling the increase that God wants us to fulfill in our lives. Like, we need to get caught up in somebody else's life, and God will get caught up in ours. So Jesus said this, and I read this. It's only, we got 3 minutes left, and I'm not going to go on and on and on. But Jesus said this in James. I didn't even write it down, but I know where it is. James says this. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? What the Bible is talking about here is you don't get to heaven because of your works. But if you want a life and a life of abundance, what you do has everything to do with how your life's going to end up. Everything. And if you don't like your life, or the way you are, I would change what you're doing. Because you'll get different results. And some people say, I'm happy with my life. That's okay. Because I'll tell you one thing. One thing about this church here, we don't knock you. I don't judge you. I try to love people. I really do. I try to lift other people up. But I'll tell you what. I, John Trotter, and I hear this. I hear people talk about me. People say things about me. People are jealous of me. I don't have no idea why. I honestly don't. But you know what? I want to tell you something. In my life, Julie and I didn't do a lot of this stuff. Julie and I, at 30, I'm 40... 39? I'm 47. I'll be 48 this year. So when I was about 36 years old, I've loved God. I've sown. I've given. Ever since I was born again. Because I knew it was the right thing to do. And I said to God, God, this sort of isn't working the way I thought it should work. And I'm not going to get into everything. And I preached since I was 20 years old. And Julie and I have been in love about three, four years after we're married. We got that area working. But there was other areas in our life where we didn't have enough to do anything. Like money-wise. Our kids couldn't go to the dentist and pay $5,000 to get operations. There was things that we just couldn't do. I'm just being honest. I couldn't buy tires for vehicles. We were in love. We had one area in, but why? Because we were doers of the word. So we got the result of God. But there's other areas in life. And I was almost 40 years old and nothing was working in my life. And I went to God one day, and it's 12 o'clock, and I won't get around. But I went to God one day, and I said, God, what is going on in my life? This isn't the way it should be. And God started to speak to me. And He started to tell me to be doers. Started to tell me things in my life, what to do. And do you know, And it isn't anything. So John Trotter changed the way he changed the course of his life. I had to change because I was just doing, and it wasn't even I was doing wrong. I was just going this direction. And I had to change the course of my life when God spoke to me. And do you know that within a 6 months period to this period, our whole world changed? Nothing would have changed in my life if I didn't change. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had to do something different. If you don't like the way your life is, you got to do something different. If you don't like the way your marriage is, you got to do something different. If you don't like the way your finances are, you got to do something different. If you don't like the way your kids are brats, you might want to do something different. Like, I'm not saying you can. What I'm saying is some people will say to me, I don't know, to me. And I'm a bit of a redneck, and my Trotters were pretty rough on their kids and stuff. My dad was, when he hit you, he hit you. Like, it wasn't, oh, I feel sorry for you, and this hurts me more than hurts you. He didn't do none of that. He just, get in the bedroom, wham, wham, wham. Pearl got the strap. You got our strap, like my mom and dad's strap. It's got a wooden handle on it like this and a piece of leather about a quarter inch thick, about that wide and about that long. Just enough, a horse rein, just enough to go right over your butt. And I don't say this, okay? But I think this sometimes. I was in a hockey room. This is a true story. I was in a hockey room, and this kid was kicking his dad and grabbed his helmet and threw it on the ground. And Isaac looked at me, and he just looked at the kid because he couldn't believe that the kid was doing that to his dad. And the dad says to me, what do you do? I'm thinking, like, beat the kid. Like, I didn't say that. No, don't beat him. You just spank him really hard on the bum. Like, so I don't want to get CS and everything involved. So, but you got to discipline your kids. If your kids are brats, you got to discipline them or they're never going to change. They're going to be brats as 20-year-olds. And they're going to be rotten husbands and rotten wives because they're spoiled rotten and they've never been told no. And Isaac says to me, I don't think he's ever got a spanking, Dad. I would never kick you, or I'd, oh, Dad, I love you, Daddy. Why does my son not kick me? Why does he not talk back to his mom? I hear kids yelling at their mom. Because if he did, I would spank his bottom red. I'm just telling you. If you want different results, you might want to do something different. Anyways, I'm not getting into... I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't like your life, there's a different way of doing it. There's God's way. And God's way isn't beating your kids. But the Bible says if you spoil a child, you spoil the rod, you spoil the child. My dad never beat me in the head, beat me in the back, beat me in the legs, beat me. But I knew this. He helped me respect women. To this day, I was going out the store yesterday. I was at Swiss Chalet. And I seen two ladies coming. And so I just stopped, I opened the door, and I held it. And they said, "Thank you very much, sir." People today don't do that anymore. Well, I remember one day when I was a little boy, I opened the door and let it slam in a lady's face. Because I wasn't thinking about anybody else but me. My dad beat me. Spanked my bottom. Do you know what? To this day, I still open the door for a lady. Amen. Why? What was the difference? My dad did something different. Like, you are understanding what I'm saying, right? Like, if you don't like your life, you can do something different. And God's way is usually the right way, or are always the right way. And I'm not saying spank kids, beat kids, like, whatever. What I'm saying... Oh. I'd probably go to jail than have a kid kicking me. I can tell you that. Just respect. There is none. There is none today. I hear kids swearing. My little boy is 7 years old. They swear at their mom and dad. What are we going to do with Joey? Well, I can tell you, 1 week with me, he wouldn't be like that. But I was raised like that. What's the difference? Just because there's no consequences here, and there's consequences here. And there's consequences in life, people. What we do will have everything to do with our outcome in life. Everything. Father, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Lord, you said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Father, we want to sow to the Spirit, or the Word, or life. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, I give you glory for it. I give you praise for it. I ask you, Father, to help people today because you helped me change. And you're helping me change. You're helping me do the right things. Every day, there's new things I need to grow at. But your word, one thing, God, is never changes. And you're God. And you honor your word. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. And I glorify you. Father, I thank you for the word of God that never changes. And I give you glory for it and I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I ask you to bless the giver. Bless this day as they go home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We love you.